Welcome to the Bunker Hill Cheesecast, brought to you by Heine's Cheese Chalet, a little place with big taste. I'm Missy Horsfall, Director of Tourism Relations. The U.S. Department of Transportation has designated a collection of over 150 roads as national scenic byways as a grassroots effort in the hope of recognizing, preserving, and enhancing selected roads throughout the U.S. One of those is the Amish Country Byway in Tuscarawas and Holmes County, Ohio. It's a 76.2-mile stretch that begins along the same corridor the first Amish settlers traveled in the 1800s. Starting with a southern route down Interstate 77, it travels through state routes and township roads and onto back roads that meander over hills and curves and picturesque countryside. With lots to see as you travel the 3 to 4 hours it takes to drive this route, it is an excellent way to get an overview of our little corner of the world. Depending on the season, you will see fields shocked with wheat or snow covered and fallow, teams of horses plowing fields, local produce or baked goods sold along the highway, and many other sites of pastoral living that will take you back to a simpler, slower time. Horse and buggies, bicycles, and pedestrians travel along the country roads with you, perhaps causing you to slow down as you make your way through this quaint and very beautiful area of the country, experiencing firsthand the Amish way of life. The byway travels through the towns of Sugar Creek, Walnut Creek, Berlin, Millersburg, and Kilbuck, Ohio, double looping your trip back to a culmination point of the territory's original Buffalo Path and Indian Trail. Google Amish Country Byway and you will find directions and maps as well as photos that will give you tips on sightseeing, recreation, where to stay, and more. It's a great way to find out more about Holmes County, Ohio, and see some of the lesser-known sites along the way. Bunker Hill Cheese and Heine's Cheese Chalet makes its home on one of these back roads, Township Road 77, just outside of Berlin, Ohio. So much to see and not far at all from the town. We are in an area known as Bunker Hill, which is not a town at all, but a wide spot in the road that has been a cornerstone of the cheese-making artisans for over 80 years. My guest today is Esther Schlebar, our retail manager at Heine's Cheese Chalet, home of Bunker Hill Cheese. And welcome to the podcast today, Esther.
Hi, Missy. It's good to be here.
Well, I'm really glad that I was able to twist your arm and come on the podcast with me. I would like for our listeners to know a little bit about you. You have lived in the area all your life, basically?
Yes, I have. I actually lived in Farmerstown and also in Sugar Creek, Ohio, and now I currently live in Dundee, Ohio.
So right kind of in the heart of the Amish community, central to where we are here near Berlin, Ohio, hop, skip, and a jump away. And having grown up in the area, you work for Bunker Hill Cheese, but I'm assuming that most of your professional life has been spent in the area as well.
Yes, it has. I actually was a previous business owner myself, and that is kind of what brought me into apply for a job when I saw that Bunker Hill Cheese was looking for a person to work in their office. And as I was working in the office, I realized that I love retail. So I mentioned that much that I love retail, and I started working in retail a half year after I started working in the office at Heine's Cheese Chalet.
It's so cool to see people kind of find their niche, and you have done an awesome job with our retail factory outlet store. And I think part of that is, number one, you love people, and you're great with people. And so having visitors come into the area has been one of the things that you've welcomed with open arms, both in our business and in the businesses and places you've worked in the past.
Absolutely. I've actually, the business that I owned was making fry pies. So I kind of have a passion with people that have bakeries because that's a lot of work.
Oh, yes,
and
it is.
And I absolutely admire anybody that gets up early in the morning and does their work and, you know, to make their ends meet.
That's awesome. And I know that you've worked what I would call in the tourist industry as well at the local flea market, running a booth there. And so I feel like you have a really good knowledge of the area, number one, because you've lived here all your life, and also of the tourism industry that's going on
in the area. Did you have to sort of learn all about cheese when you came to Bunker Hill?
Absolutely, I did. I did not know much about cheese when I started at Bunker Hill. I actually, when I came in to fill out my application, I think it was the second time I walked into the building, because I remember as a Peaceful Acres Bakery owner, I actually walked in to try to sell my fry pies to them.
I see.
That was the second time ever being in the store.
You hadn't experienced Heine's cheese before. I mean, the chalet.
No, not at all.
Yeah, or tasted the cheese, maybe.
No.
Wow.
Absolutely not.
Well, that's pretty good, because now we've got you converted.
I absolutely love it.
We got your whole family converted.
So, absolutely.
So that is so cool and so awesome. What would you say, Esther, is the biggest change you've seen in this area that we live in, that you've lived in all your life?
I would say technology. I would say the phones, nobody in our house had a phone inside the house. We all would walk to the phone shack somewhere down the road. The first I remember, we were biking 3 miles down the road to go make a phone call. Mm. And then I remember when it got moved to our house in the backyard, away from on the outskirts of our property, like actually not on our land. And now even my mom and dad, they have their phone inside their house.
Wow. This is really interesting to me, because you actually come from the Amish community, correct? You were raised Amish?
Yes, I was actually raised Amish. I actually got married in 2001, and I was married for 15 years Amish. And then in 2017, we decided we would rather drive a car, and which is a lot of fun.
I love that.
And we left the Amish, and so we've been living a Mennonite life since then.
Okay. And there's a lot of connections and traditions and similarities, truly. With the Mennonite and the Amish, a lot of it is choices in lifestyle. And so the move, maybe not that difficult, although I would say there are some differences in each of the Amish churches about whether there is any shunning. And I know a lot of people are interested in that, because they don't really understand the concept of that. Was that something that you had to face?
We actually faced shunning for a year and a half after we left. My husband was actually an ordained minister in the Amish church.
I see.
They had shunned us for a year and a half. And with how everything went, and with us becoming members at the Mennonite church, they took what they called, took it off of us, the shunning, after the year and a half was up.
Okay.
Which is actually shorter than a lot of people experience. Some people never get theirs lifted.
Wow.
Some people stay shunned for life. We actually didn't experience that. And during when we were actually being shunned, we didn't even experience like the opposition of people not talking to us. Mm. Actually, we found that people were very friendly. Like the Amish people, when you saw them somewhere, they would make a point of including you and talking to you.
So that it wasn't the severity of that.
Definitely, some people see the true harsh shunning, but in our area, they do not.
And you never experienced
that. I never experienced it myself.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about your growing up Amish. The reason I'm asking, and I'm chuckling a little bit, because I've heard a few of your tales. You were really fascinated with the whole car thing, weren't you?
I really was. Actually, I do remember, even as a teenager, when I was dating, I was dating the one guy, and wherever we went, I would drive there. And no, I did not have license. My parents didn't know that I was driving.
Oh, you were a rebel
at
heart.
I was bad. But we ended up, actually, I'll never forget, one morning it had snowed, and I ended up driving the car home, and somehow I got in the yard a little bit, and Mom told me, your boyfriend better stop driving through our yard. And I'm like, oh, I'll make sure and tell him.
That's pretty funny. That is funny.
But as the years went on, we definitely talked about leaving the Amish from pretty much the year after we got married. And we just always felt like there was a pull there.
Mm-hmm.
And then 15 years into marriage, we just decided, you know what? This is not for us. We need to move on. And I think the hardest thing for me was to actually wait to drive.
Yeah.
To wait till I have my license to be able to drive.
To legally drive. Well, I'm sure you're not the first teenager to drive without a license, especially in rural back roads areas. I took my kids to a farm and let them drive on the farm. It wasn't on a main road or anything, but It's a little different when you're in a rural area sometimes, I think, which leads me to talk a little bit about the changes in really just the town of Berlin, the town of Sugar Creek, the area as you grew up. Really was much more rural, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Absolutely. When I was growing up, the Sugar Creek, we actually lived about a mile off of the railroad. And I remember Sugar Creek actually being a huge tourist destination for the train rides.
Yes.
So we would literally run over to the train tracks. We'd be these little Amish kids standing beside the railroad, waving at the tourists in the train.
Oh, that
many
is
times.
So funny. Yeah.
So yes, if we had company, we would always make a trip to the railroad to watch. And oh, we smashed many pennies by laying them on the railroad tracks as the train would go by. But yeah, that's pretty much a fond memory that I have from my childhood.
Yeah. That sounds incredible. And of course, I'm sure the people on the train loved to see that because
they were always like flocking to the windows.
Window to see that. And yes. And it's so unusual. I think there's a fascination with this area of the country. And I know I myself am not originally from here. So I felt it even when I moved here. I was like something I don't even know that I had heard of the Amish community before, or certainly had no idea in my head about people living without electricity or without a car, mm-hmm. or without any of those things. And it just didn't quite compute in my head.
Right.
And now I've been here quite a few years, and I have a much better understanding of that. But would you say that's one of the things that fascinate people about the Amish culture?
I would say so. Buggies, the horse and buggies out and about. And honestly, right now, you don't even see as many horse and buggies out and about as you did 10 years ago.
Really?
Because of they now have what they call the e-bikes.
Yes.
And those are like, you see people, families going away with those, and it's kind of like cheap transportation for them.
Yeah. You know, you make a good point. That sort of kind of gradually came into the area. But as you say that, I'm recognizing the truth of that. And there, a lot of people ride to work on a bike.
Absolutely.
A lot of people work very close to their home so they can walk or ride a bike,
right.
or they can hire transportation to get them there,
right.
which makes it more complicated in those ways. But the e-bike, which is it a motorized bike? Why is it called an e-bike?
It's got a motor on it, but it's actually a battery-powered motorbike.
Okay.
That makes sense.
That does make sense.
And they're supposed to go no faster than 20 miles an hour. But I've heard the comment from an Amish guy that said, oh, I've had mine at 40 miles an hour.
they can rev them up. It's a little scary.
They can go a little faster than it actually technically supposed to, but yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that they're wearing helmets and...
lot of times you will see them wearing helmets. And that is one thing that I would definitely just say is to be on the lookout for the e-bikes.
Yes.
It's not like a normal bike.
Yes.
Normal bike is very easy to pass to where the e-bike is more... They're going faster.
They're going faster, so you have to really consider them a car.
Or
a buggy. But it is misleading because it's a bicycle, and you think, I can catch them or pass them or whatever.
Absolutely.
The other thing is that I've appreciated over the course of years is that I feel like many of the people that are riding the bike or even walking are much better about wearing neon
reflective
gear.
Yes,
which
absolutely.
Is really wonderful because
that's
it is
awesome.
Very hard for, not just for tourists to see, but for those who live in the area to be aware of that, because it can be very dangerous having both on the road, and understanding that I think is really key and critical, especially
when
you come into the area and you're not used to driving and that kind of thing. So to be on the lookout for that that's an awesome tip for our visitors. As those who live here, it's like going anywhere else. When we go somewhere else to see something, we're driving slow. We're gawking at things. We're looking. We're like, oh, look at that. We're moving slow. And I know people are thinking, get out of my way. I'm getting to work. What are you doing? You know,
You saying that actually makes me think of when I go to Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, they don't ride bikes. They ride scooters.
Scooters.
So it's a two-wheeled scooter, one leg on the scooter, the other leg pedaling going down the road.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh my goodness, look at that. I slow down, I watch.
Yeah.
So I do get what you're saying there.
We're all tourists at heart,
absolutely.
Right? When we see something new, we've never seen it before, or we go to a new place and we want to see it. And one of the things I truly do appreciate about the tourists that come here, I believe they come with the desire to know and to understand and to see and to experience something new. Because what is offered in this area is something I believe it's really rare and precious in this day and age, because we've essentially slowed down.
Absolutely.
Right? We and all of us have slowed down in a lot of ways. But when you're behind a buggy and you have to,
absolutely,
you know, wait for the next hill, you're forced to slow down. And when you do that, there's something about slowing down, being more deliberate, intentional, taking the time, I think, as well, just to look around you and appreciate the area.
You know, that actually brings me to think of something. That is actually something that I will say that I would say I miss, which we kind of took care of, that we miss that part of driving in a buggy, going down the road. You're going real slow. You can see everything.
Mm-hmm.
So this past summer, we actually ended up buying a golf cart.
Ah.
And we go out riding on Sunday afternoons, and we get to just enjoy the countryside.
Yeah.
So well, that, I think, is because of the fact that we're used to driving in this buggy, and we absolutely love the slow pace. And obviously the golf cart doesn't go very fast, so.
So you get a little taste of that.
I get
again,
a little
right?
taste of that with a motor.
With a motor. And honestly, it can be, we can get kind of caught up in the hustle and bustle.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get here.
Very much so.
But I do feel, and I'm sure I've gotten impatient myself behind a buggy before, but I feel like when that happens and you're forced to slow down,
mm-hmm,
to take the pause, to take the time to just relax and look at what you can see in those moments when you're not rushing by.
Absolutely.
You know, when you slow down, you see so many more things, and you have an opportunity, I would say, to appreciate the area and the picturesqueness of the area, the quaintness.
Right.
The
absolutely.
There's something about this area.
The hills
area,
and the valleys.
The hills and the valleys, to watch, you know, the Amish farmers with their horses out in the field, or when they shock their wheat, or, you know, even on my way home, sometimes if I hit it just right, I hit what we call a Holmes County traffic jam, you know, where the cows
right.
are
absolutely.
Crossing the road.
Oh, yes, yeah. Absolutely. I have that on my way home from work, too.
Yeah, so all of those things, I mean, like anything else, you know, you have to appreciate, I think, what you have around you. But being here in this area, it's just a different pace.
Yes. Another thing to watch out for also is kids walking beside the road, or
yes,
walking down the road to go to school.
Yes.
This morning, I actually came up behind a group of about 12 children, and they were just kind of running around. And I was like, kids, just get off to the side there. Like, this is a big road.
I mean, kids are
that
kids,
mom
right?
and me, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that was pretty,
yeah,
it actually kind of scared me because it wasn't completely daylight.
Yeah.
And there was a couple there that had the vests on, but they were on the inside, not the outside of them.
Yeah. So they're,
so that was,
and they're not always
just
thinking
some to
that.
Be on the lookout for.
Yeah.
Yes.
Being cautious of that. I always feel just a little bit nervous of, especially the young boys on bikes, if there's
mm-hmm.
a group of them. Because they're kids, and
yeah,
you know, I'm going to assume that they're going to stay on the side of the road, but you know what? It's very easy to kind of swing over or any of those things. So those are great tips for our tourists that come
mm-hmm.
in terms of driving and what to watch for and to be cautious and to look for that. And also maybe even as a way to appreciate what they're seeing. And I think most tourists do. I think the locals get more impatient than the tourists do when they
yeah,
come.
I agree with that 100%. Because I think the locals actually do get even impatient with slow cars going down the road
oh,
sometimes.
Absolutely. And part of that is the taking for granted.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because we live in this
100%.
Wonderful area, and we don't always stop to pause and consider and appreciate it. And I think that's true wherever you go. I mean,
absolutely,
if you live in an area that draws tourism, you may not always appreciate what the tourists are coming to see, because you see it every day. And that's just human nature, to take for granted what is right there, what you see all of the time.
That is 100% true.
Well, I'm going to shift gears just a little bit on you, Esther, and I want to talk a little bit about Bunker Hill Cheese, and what are some tips that you would give to tourists coming to our area if they were going to come to Bunker Hill Cheese, to Heine's Cheese Chalet?
Well, I would tell them they definitely have to walk back and look at the viewing gallery and watch the cheese process being made. I have myself given some tours, and it's absolutely, that was one of the first things I learned, was how to make cheese. And to me, it's an art.
It is.
Absolutely yep. interesting.
I would have to
it
agree with
so
you.
It's so much fun to stand there and just watch what they're doing. And hopefully at some point we'll have to where people can actually read or see somehow what they're actually doing without an actual person telling about it. But that is very awesome to watch the cheese making process.
Oh, yeah, it truly is. And I've never given tours, but I've done a little bit of studying on trying to explain how it's done and to do some video work and that kind of thing. And for sure, if you come visit Heine's Cheese, make sure you go back and watch the viewing process. And if they have questions, they are welcome to come and ask, correct?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I actually like when people ask questions about cheese making, and sometimes I walk through down there just to see if people have questions.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can, I actually get people samples of the small curds. If they start asking questions, sometimes I will hand them a container of curds, like go in and get it out right from the vat.
Right from the vat.
Very fresh curds.
I'm not into curds, but people tell me that's the best way to eat them. You know, they squeak, and that's what I don't like.
Me neither. I don't care for them, but the cheese itself after it's done, oh my goodness, it is so good.
It is so
good. I love our cheese.
It is very, very good. Any other tips as people come? Good time to come, bad time to come, busiest time to come?
I would say if you don't want to hit the crowd, don't come on a Saturday. But obviously, we also like our Saturday customers. So
absolutely.
If you want to skip the crowd, come during the week. During the summer, that's not always true because sometimes during the summer we're busy on an everyday. Like,
although if you come when we first open in the morning, it's usually a lighter amount of traffic at that point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Usually until noon. Even on Saturdays, like it goes until 10 o'clock until we have, usually around 10 o'clock, our line starts forming.
Yeah, or in the afternoon, late afternoon, then it
right,
settles down.
Right, late afternoon.
Now, if you want to watch the cheese making, you have to come before noon.
Yes, and that's for sure on a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And usually they're done by 2:30.
Yeah, because they start very
they're
early
all cleaned
in the morning.
Up, yes.
Mm-hmm. It is fascinating to watch and very interesting if you have any questions. And so we love it when people come and they have questions and we can answer them.
Absolutely.
So, Esther, let me ask you this. What's your personal favorite cheese that we make?
My personal favorite cheese is the Lacy Baby Swiss.
Wow.
Absolutely love the Lacy Baby Swiss. That is just, it's a mild, creamy, yummy cheese is how I tell everybody. And also, another cheese that we have is we have Carolina Reaper, we have the Scorpion, and the Ghost Pepper. And I decided one day that I want to try our buffalo cheese. And I picked up a couple pieces of thinking it was buffalo cheese.
Uh-oh.
And it was ghost pepper cheese.
Uh-oh. There's
and
a big difference.
It is hot.
It's very hot.
So, yes, I learned very quickly that ghost pepper cheese is very hot.
Now, if you like hot cheese, I mean, if you like hot things, people that love hot things love our hot
Absolutely.
Cheese. But if you're not so fond of hot cheese and or anything hot, I often will say to people, is that hot? And they'll say, oh, no, it's not hot. And I'll try it. And I'll be like, oh, yes, it's hot. So I don't go by what people say. I just don't try hot things because I don't have a thermometer for that. I mean, I don't.
We do have a thermometer, a scale actually displayed with the hot cheese to show you how hot it actually is.
And that's been proven by the peppers that we use, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we right now are using the hottest peppers that are out
that
there.
That are out there, yes.
Although, you know, those keep getting hotter all the time and creating new peppers. So
if you want a hot cheese, definitely stop in, even just for that.
And there you have it, listeners. So, you know, you want to come try some hot cheese. You want to come try some creamy cheese. You want to come just find out how cheese is made. Come find Esther at Heine's Cheese Chalet, and she will be happy to greet you and answer any questions you have.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
And thanks again, Esther, for being on the podcast today. And now it's time for Did You Know? Did you know that curds and whey are a real thing? When I was a little girl, I memorized the nursery rhyme, Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet eating her curds and whey. Along came a spider and sat down beside her and frightened Miss Muffet away. I always suspected that curds and whey was a made-up nonsensical rhyme. Imagine my surprise when I started working at a cheese manufacturer and found out that there truly are curds and whey, and that you could actually eat them. You go, Miss Muffet. Curds and whey is the generic term for curdled milk. The lumps of cheese are called curds, and the liquid left over is the whey. Little Miss Muffet was probably eating something similar to cottage cheese as we know it today. Every vat of cheese made at Bunker Hill Cheese has both curds and whey. It is at the end of the process that the curds form and the whey is drawn off. And the curds are collected and put into forms that are pressed, removing the remaining liquid in the cheese. After several hours of pressing, the cheese is formed in blocks or wheels, and the end product has a solid texture. People seem to either love curds or not care for them at all. The difference is in the texture. Our experts here at Bunker Hill Cheese and Heine's Cheese Chalet say that fresh curds are the best way to eat them, right out of the vat and before they go into the press. They're actually warm from the process and squeak when you eat them. And now you know.